Well, appreciate that song. I'm thankful that we serve such a God and that we can know Him and know without a doubt. I'm not waiting for scientists to confirm it. I'm not waiting for their evidence. I found the evidence and it's in my heart. Thank God for the fact that there is a God that loves us, that created us from the dust and cares about us. I have a burden that the Lord has placed on my heart, felt like to share with you this morning. Need His help, and so I ask for your prayers that the Lord would be the one that speaks through His Word, would get to each one of us what He would have written on the board, fitly joined together. I'd like to look at Exodus, the 20th chapter, and want to consider what I find to be a beautiful plan of God. And I don't feel like I am able to bring it out as beautiful as I feel like it is, but may the Lord impress it to our hearts. I'd like to begin in Exodus chapter 20, 20 and 24. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, and thine oxen, and all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. The Lord had just given unto the children of Israel, you read in the chapter before this, actually in this chapter, but further up, where the Lord had just given the commandments that we're familiar with unto His children. He was making of them a nation. He was preparing them to be a people called out, set apart, called by His name, observing that which was right and holy and pure in His sight. God is not a mysterious, mystic God somewhere that we can't understand. He said in one place, "This word that I have given you, it is not far off from you. On the other side of the sea where you have to say, I need someone to go get it for me." But He said, "The word is very nigh unto you and in your mouth, that we might understand it." We don't serve God with superstitions and dark mysteries and clouded, vague practices that we don't understand. We serve God with understanding. That's how God wants to be served. He gave His law. He gave His commandments. This is what, not just in these verses, but throughout the law, in its wholeness, in its entirety. I want you to know what is clean and what is unclean, to be able to make a distinction between the two. I'm not calling you just based on a common heritage, a common great-great-grandpa, but I am calling you to be separate and distinct from the world around you. And I want to meet you. Oh, thank God that He desires to meet with us. That He's not just the clockmaker God, so to speak, that set the world into motion. He did. I believe it fully. He created, as Moses recorded in Genesis, He created it all. But I don't believe that He just stepped back and said, "I'm just going to let it run its course now." That's not the kind of God that I know and that I serve. He said of His little straggling group of people here that had just been delivered out of slavery, that "I want to meet with you. I want to be your God. But there are some things that you're going to have to be aware of. There's a certain way that I am worshipped. I will be a God to you that is to Moses. He spoke unto him like a friend does. But He's not a God to be trifled with. He's not a God to just casually, carelessly, whatever way I want to approach Him. No, He is the great I Am. And I want to know, Lord, how do I approach You?" You know, there's a certain way to approach a judge that's on the bench. You're not just going to go up smacking gum and just whatever old way you want to and speaking disrespectfully. And there is a certain level of respect, of solemnity, even in coming before the judge. How much more the great judge of heaven? So he said, I want you to make an altar where I'll meet you and where you come and sacrifice unto me. And I don't want us to get bogged down in the details too much. But he said, the way I want you to make this altar is with whole stones. You know, there's meaning to what the Lord commanded. I don't believe they always understood in the Old Testament and in those times the fullness of the meaning. But it was a type that pointed to something that was coming, to an anti-type that was fulfilled in Christ. This altar where I will meet you there, I want it to be of whole stones, which means I don't want you to put your hand to it. I don't want it to be designed according to the way you think it looks best, to the way that you think would be most fitting and appropriate. I'm not looking for your skill and your talent. And there's a balance of understanding here that the Lord did use people's talents. But the Lord was making, he was giving them a message here that has been fulfilled throughout the ages and in Christ that we can see. We're not to worship the Lord just any old way. That I can't just come to the Lord in the way that I think best. We live in a time of pluralistic society that doesn't want to hear about binaries. There's right, there's wrong, there's male, there's female, there's heaven, there's hell. They don't want to hear that kind of thing. I'm going to find my own way. If I don't see a way that I like, I'm going to invent my own. If I don't find a church that I'm comfortable with, I'll go start my own up, etc. But there is a certain way that we are to worship the Lord. And it's not just mysterious and hidden and that maybe we can find out, maybe we can't, we'll just guess about it. The Lord has made very clear some things throughout His Word of the way that we are to come as His people and to worship Him. And it is not in our own efforts, it is not in our own flesh, in our own righteousness, which is as filthy rags. The Lord doesn't want to be on display. He said, when you go up by steps, cover yourself, that your nakedness be not appear. And that theme has been consistent throughout Scripture. It is what the basis of our doctrine of modesty, I say our doctrine, the doctrine of the Word of God, of modesty is. Throughout Scripture, we are to cover ourselves. It's not about bringing glory to ourselves or attracting attention unto ourselves. I want to glorify God in whatever I do and whatever I say and eat and drink and wear. I want it to be to the glory of God. When we worship the Lord, we cannot come before the Lord and worship Him in haughtiness of spirit, in pride, in something that causes us to rise up. Hey, look at me. Listen how beautiful I am. Listen how eloquent I am. Folks, we are to be lost in Christ. It is He who fits us into the body. And that's the direction that I want to go. But I want us to look first to this altar and consider what the Lord was saying. I want this altar where I'm going to meet you to be made out of whole stones. I'm not depending upon your abilities and your talents and skill to fit together and craft the means of worshiping me. Think about also in the third chapter of Exodus, we won't read it, but whenever the Lord called to Moses out of the burning bush, you remember what He told Moses? He said, come hither, put off your shoes from off your feet, because the place that you're standing is holy ground. Well, is the Lord against shoes? I think not. That's not my message, and won't try to prove that point in Scripture. But that's not what the Lord was emphasizing. There was something there that was made so sacred by the presence of God that the Lord didn't want anything of man's doings between man and the ground where God was meeting him. And there's symbolism in that. That the Lord does not want the work of our hands entering into the worship of the Lord. The Lord's sanctum, it's not this building that's anything special. You know, this building is not the church. It is we who are the temple of God. It is we who are born again who are the church, who come and meet together under the commandment of God to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That we meet together in a place such as this. And we do it in a way, not of our own doings, not of our own means of entertaining or attracting people, but wholly under the auspice of the Word of God and of the Holy Spirit. That's all we've got. And it's all we need, is the Word and the Holy Spirit. So put off your shoes. Put off that which is man-made when you're standing here in the presence of God on holy ground. 1 Kings, the 6th chapter. We read an account here of the building of the temple. 1 Kings chapter 6 and the 7th verse. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. Now this is a little different picture than we had of the altar that was built of whole stones. These weren't just stones that they found laying out on the ground. It sounds like perhaps that men were going to the rock pit to gather these stones, and there was some preparation of the stones. But it was before it was ever brought into the temple. It was brought prepared exactly for what it needed to be able to go in exactly where it needed to go. So they weren't there trying to make little adjustments and tweaking things because it doesn't quite fit there. It was made so that it all fit together like a master designer had planned. I'd like to turn now to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, the 4th chapter. I may skip through some of this and pick up a few verses. 4:1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and one and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There is a calling that we are called to. There is a purpose why we are here on this earth. And it is not just to serve myself. I am not just an independent stone sitting over here all by myself, and I have nothing to do with anybody else. No man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. The scripture said, it says here, there's conduct that we are called unto in lowliness of mind and meekness and long suffering and forbearing one another. That we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body. Folks, we're moving now into the New Testament dispensation, where we're not talking about a temple anymore made with stones. We're not talking about this chapel building here. We're talking about ye are the building of God. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That the Lord is building a building now. He is building a church that is made up not of one member, but of many different members. And there's a responsibility that we have. There should be a desire in every one of us. Lord, I want to fit. I want to be a part of what you're doing in the earth. I want to be just in the center of your will. I want to be a vessel, a stone, wherever you have me in this building of your kingdom, of your church. Oh Lord, would you prepare me with your hands? Because He is the master architect of the church. It is not man. It is not our doing. Whenever we put together the members, it is not the pastor's job to fit together all the pieces. It is not the body of the ministry to try to work everybody together and force everyone together into one cohesive unit. You can't do it. It is God who places the members in the body. It is God who builds His church that I want to be a part of. Skipping down further here, it talks about the gifts, the callings that He gives, the different gifts that He places in the body, and it says what the purpose of it is. That it is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. When the Lord gives a gift, when the Lord gives a talent, the Lord gives a testimony, it is not only for my edification. First and foremost is my own soul before God. I have to tend to my own soul before I can help anybody else's. You know, the Lord gives us gifts and abilities not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of those that are around us. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ should be every one of our objective and our purpose and desire until we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. 15th verse, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head. Who is the head? It says, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual measure in the working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This is the Lord's desire for us. That we would be able to be fitly joined together as one body in Christ. What does it mean to be fitly joined? Well, the definition of the phrase, the Greek word that's used there, means to render close jointed together, to make one or to make one. In carpentry work, you look at a joint that is made, and you can tell the difference between a true skilled carpenter and one that is maybe has to resort to some carpenter's glue and some caulk to try to cover it up. You know, a joint that is fitly joined together, it's cut just to the right angle. It's cut just so that it fits right there. And there's a number of different joints, number of different joints that can be made, that someone who is skilled in the making of joints can put it together just like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. It just fits. You know, the Lord who places the members in the body, He knows exactly where you fit. And He knows exactly where I fit. It's the saying of trying to take a square peg and fit it in a round hole. Folks, if we try to figure out the building up of God's church and His kingdom in our own ability, it's not going to work very well. I say, I want to be there. I want to fit right in that place. Read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Where it's talking about all the individual members of the body. Then it says, if one say, well, I'm not the... Well, let's just read it. For the body is not one member, 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, but it is many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. You understand what he's saying here? If I should say, well, I want to be a foot. I want to be a hand. But I want to be an ear. Folks, the Lord knows how to fit us. The Lord knows how to fitly join us in the body right where He wants us. And it's not going to work for me to try to fit myself in any other place. It is the Lord that does the preparing of these stones. It is not of man's works, lest any man should boast. It is not by seminary. It is not by our teaching and structuring or organization of the church that fits people into place. It is the Holy Spirit. It is God through the working of His Spirit that fits us. Oh, folks, let the Lord fit you. If you don't remember anything else, remember it. May this be our prayer. Lord, fit me in your body. Lord, fit me, fitly join me to your body in the place that you see that I am needed. Because every one of us have a place to fill in the body. You know, I believe there's just something natural in people that want to belong. Well, sure. I want to be a part of something. I want to be able to have an affinity with some people. And there are all kinds of fraternities, sororities, and clubs, and organizations, and societies of all kinds that I could go and become a member of. And I can find there people who share common interests, common hobbies. If I was into, I don't know, hot air balloons, I am sure that I could find a club, a group somewhere, and I'm not just condemning some of those kind of things. But there is something within us that I believe wants to be a part, that wants to belong to something, to some organ, something bigger than just me. I want to be able to feel like I fit somewhere. Folks, I want you to know that you can fit in the body of Christ. There's a place for you. You belong. God has called you with your individual talents and exactly who you are. And you don't need to look at someone else and say, well, if only I could be like them, maybe I could fit in. And folks, this is for all of us this morning. The Lord can fitly join anybody into the body of Christ. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to be born into the church of God. You got to be born a spiritual birth into God's church. But your dad and your grandpa and your great-great-grandma did not have to be a saint of God in order for you to belong. Your last name doesn't have to be one of a list of 40 common last names among the people of God for you to be able to fit. The Lord can take and fitly join anybody. Anybody that is willing to come by way of the blood and the cross and humble themselves before God, folks, the Lord knows what He's doing. He's been doing it for millennia. Who would have thought that a man walking down the road with papers and hate in his heart and the intent to destroy the church of God, he's sure not a fit. Anybody can see that. Saul of Tarsus, keep him as far away as you can. There's a God in heaven that shone a light down. It says, Saul, why are you kicking against the pricks? Saul, I want to arrest you here. I want to get a hold of you here. And Saul, who was for a few days blind, oh, the Lord did a work in Saul. It wasn't the body of believers that came and that tried to file off the sharp edges and chain. No, there is a work of salvation that is a divine work that takes the nature of the lion and makes it the nature of a lamb, that takes the spirit of a person that's like a sword and turns it into a pruning hook. This is scripture, this is prophecy of a New Testament gospel dispensation and what the work of the Lord does in our hearts. And He can take someone filled with malice and bitterness and hatred, and He can get a hold of them and change their hearts and make it just as soft as a child. And someone who once swore and blasphemed and uttered all kinds of hatred, you might could see tears running down their face of thanksgiving of what God's done for them. Folks, I believe in this. This is real. I believe that our God is still in the business of doing this today. This church does not belong to me. It is not the church of Clint or the church of fill your name in. It is the church of the living God. He is the one that organizes it, that sets it together, that joins it together. In Him, and by Him alone, we live and breathe and move and have our being. Folks, you can try to take people and join them together by common language. Let's say I move here to America and I speak Polish. Well, and it happened after the Tower of Babel. Remember, everybody that was suddenly speaking a different language, they kind of finally figured out who they could understand, and they went off their way and scattered across the face of the earth. But folks, the time is coming and has come and is now that the children of God that are scattered abroad are being called together in one in Christ. This is the message of the gospel. It is the message of Christ. It is the message of the church of God. He is calling together all those who are blood washed across the face of the earth. And it doesn't have to be somebody that looks like me. It doesn't have to be somebody with my skin color, ethnicity, gender, background, whatever you want to fill in there. They don't have to have my same kind of interest, and they don't have to like their steak medium well, and whatever kind of things I like that would cause people to maybe kind of tend to naturally gravitate towards each other. This is a divine work. This is a building of God, the workmanship of God, and it spans across all nationalities and tongues and people across the face of the earth. This word, the phrase fitly joined, is also the word that is used sometimes to express the harmony of music. Some people are more musically inclined than others. You know, you can hear whenever music harmonizes. You can hear whenever voices just blend together in harmony. And you know that's what the Lord is doing when He fitly joins people together. Oh, I've been in places in other parts of the world, on the other side of the world. Nobody I know. I remember making a trip to India. Been talking to a brother online for a number of years. Some of you have met him now. Never met him from the time I left the United States to the time I got back. I didn't see a single face that I recognized. But I want to tell you what I found. I found something that harmonized. Yeah. I found something that the Lord gave me scripture and He gave me the messages to teach from the simplicity of the Word of God. Folks, there was a harmony whenever they testified and they raised their hands and they rejoiced to the sound of the Word. I found something that God just fitly joined us together. And they eat food that I think's kind of strange, and they talk certainly in a way that sounds strange to me. And yet, through it all, there was something that joined us together that transcended culture and language and all of that. And I've embraced people and I couldn't speak a word of their language. We stand and embrace with tears. There's a connection here. There's a joint here. We've been fitly joined together. I don't know how. Folks, you can't manufacture this. You can't artificially produce this. Oh, people, try and try and try. You know, you can get all kinds of people together in a big auditorium and not have a bit of unity and love in their hearts. I've heard it expressed, there's a difference between togetherness and unity. You can take two cats and tie their tails together and drape them over a clothesline, and you'll have togetherness, but you're sure not going to have unity. Folks, the Lord wants to fitly join us together. He wants to take, again, from all kinds of backgrounds and personalities. And folks, it's beautiful. God wants to take this personality and that personality that's different and fitly join us together in something that works. You look at Jesus and the disciples that He called. You know, He didn't just call a bunch of men that were all the same. All the same temperament and personality and way of expressing themselves and thought patterns. He called all kinds. even included a tax collector who tended to be despised, and fit them in the mix. Boy, what a concoction you have now. And yet, there was something that blended together. And the Lord, with those 12 men, created a microcosm, a picture of what He is doing in the earth. When He can take people of all kinds of backgrounds and ways of thinking and all that, and we don't have to resort to strife and striving back and forth and arguing and fighting and clamoring and all of that. The Lord is able to fitly join us together in a way that you and I can't. We can't force in a natural sense. If something doesn't fit, just get a bigger hammer. But you know, it doesn't work very well when it comes to the church of God. A bigger hammer is not what's needed to try to fit something in. It's got to be the work of God in the hearts and in the minds and in the spirit that causes a flowing together, a blending, a fitting, and a meshing together. The scripture talks about our hearts being knit together. That is a close connection that the Lord knits our hearts together. One song says, a thousand cords our hearts entwine forever and forever. What is that? It's not some oath that we say in a secret society. It's not because your last name's the same as mine. There's all kinds of families that can't even get along that have the same last name. That's not going to do it. There are people of the same race that can't get along. That's not going to do it, folks. There is something greater than all of that that binds and unites us together. The effectual working the scripture here talks about. It tells me that the sum of the whole is greater and more powerful and more effective than the sum of the individual parts. The sum of the whole, of the body working together, fitly joined, can accomplish far greater in this earth than each of us independently scattered abroad, doing my own thing over here and you doing your own thing over there, fitly joined together. There is an effectual working. So we thought about Jesus and His disciples, Saul of Tarsus being fit in. You know, the early time of the church, we can romanticize about it, and it was a glorious time. But you know, they had problems upon problems. There were some who said, well, I'm of Paul, and this one said, I'm of Apollos. And they said, you're carnal. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? That's not what it's all about. No, that's not the basis of our unity. It is Christ. He is the head. But there were Jews, there were Gentiles, there were Greeks, there were barbarians, there were all these kind of people that were brought together into a melting pot. And there were some problems. There was some natural strife and some carnality with, you know, the Lord was trying to fitly join something together. And through the burden and the epistles of Paul the Apostle writing to him and addressing those problems, oh, forbear one another in love. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. There's something more valuable than just holding my position, than just serving my interests. Oh, that we strive to keep the unity of the Spirit. Paul said in Ephesians, the second chapter, that he has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Speaking of the Jews and the Gentiles, that which could never be reconciled of man's doings. And yet Jesus Christ broke down a middle wall that divided them apart. Folks, there are in this our day walls that need to come down. There are divisional barriers that need to come down. There are middle walls of partition, dividing and sectioning, and sects are not of God. There is one body, united under one head. And we are called to be one together in Christ. And you say, well, that's easier said than done. It sure is. I don't have all the answers, but I think we all do have the answer. Folks, it's in God fitly joining us together. And again, I'll say, it's not just about togetherness Or we could try and say, at whatever the cost, at whatever expense, we'll overlook matters of heresy or truth or spirits that... And we can have a cage of every foul and unclean spirit. But folks, the Lord is able to do a work. And I believe He still, in our day, is trying to do a work. It's not calling people unto my church and your church. But the message of the Reformation and the message still today is that we are called to be one in Christ. Forsake the divisional walls. Forsake, well, this is my identity. Our identity is to be lost in Christ. He is our identity. That we are called to be part of His body. He's broken down the middle wall of partition. And now, according to Galatians, He said unto the Galatians, there is neither Jew, nor Greek, nor bond, nor free. Oh, you've all got your own stories and backgrounds. But our identity now is common. Our identity is the same. I am a child of God. And you know, I'm not a senior child of God and you a junior child of God. You know, there's not a hierarchy of children of God. We all are one. From the ministers on up, we are one. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I pray that the Lord will inspire and just impress upon our hearts the beauty of the unity of God's people. And we all have a part to play in it. The enemy is diametrically opposed to unity. You ever see that, maybe documentaries, or maybe you've seen it in person? You have some buffalo up in Yellowstone and some hungry wolves watching from the ridge, looking for an opportunity. But those buffalo know how to shoulder to shoulder together and kick and stamp. And as long as they are a cohesive unit, backs together, facing the enemy, the wolf doesn't stand much of a chance. But if the wolf can spook them and get them to running and maybe start to get one peeled off and maybe one starts to lose the tight connection to the others, folks, the wolf is still trying to do the same thing today. If he can get me by some whispering in my ear, some doubt, some suspicions, he is the sower of discord among the brethren. He is the chief of it. And the enemy will do everything he can to try to cause there to be some distance, some separation, some, I'm going to kind of steer clear a little bit. Oh, may the Lord bind our hearts ever closer and closer together. Folks, we have a common Lord. We have a common enemy. There is a common hell for us to avoid. And there's a common throne for us to be joined around in heaven together, singing the songs in such wonderful melody and harmony. Voices, John the Revelator saw it, of every tongue and people and kindred. They were all joined around the throne like one mass. And they were singing the same song. They were singing the same chorus, praises unto their God. Oh, you know we can have a taste of that right here. Where the Lord wants to fitly join us together in His body. Psalmist said in Psalm 68:6 that He setteth the solitary in families. Folks, there's a family today. That the Lord wants to fitly join every one of us into. That I belong. One song says, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. And I feel that way of the people of God. Let's look at 1 Peter before we close. 1 Peter, the second chapter. 1 Peter 2 and 3. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively or living stones. Back to where we started, living stones, built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The Lord is still building. He's still in this business of joining together, of uniting together a holy and a spiritual body that is fitly joined together of these living stones. Again, Satan's work is going to be to oppose, to cause division and a scattering of people. You know why that is? Part of the reason? People will stand by and look at that and say, well, here's this church. And over here is this church. And this church says they're the right one. This church says they have the truth. Folks, there are, by my best count, 21 churches of God in Springfield, Ohio. Down kind of to where we live. Folks, this ought not to be. You'll say, well, who are you to say that? You're one of them. Folks, the Lord is calling us to one body. And I can't make something otherwise happen. I have a responsibility. The Lord has challenged and checked me, Clint, be very careful about putting your hand to the altar. Be very careful about trying to put your hand to situations and circumstances. It is God that fitly joins. It is God that wants to work all in all and fit us together. And John said, I believe that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. There's something that harmonizes. It is not just in doctrine or in knowledge. It is in the Word and in the Spirit. You can have the doctrines down to a T and your heart be so contrary to the Spirit of Christ. Oh Lord, help us to have the Word and the Spirit and to follow. I want to leave us with a thought. I'm out of time. I don't want to keep you. Leave us with a thought in the Old Testament of the children of Israel that were marching to the Canaan land. A million people or so, something like that. Can you imagine that many people walking across the dusty old desert? The dust cloud, the commotion, the confusion. Imagine if you can't keep your child in the supermarket. Imagine what that would be like with a million people mixing and mingling together. You know, the Lord had a plan. And He said, I want you to set your standard by tribe. Lift up your standard. And if I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, I look to that standard. And wherever that goes, that's where I go. You know what our standard is today? The standard of the Church of God is not found in the creed book somewhere. The standard of the Church of God is Jesus Christ. He is the standard that is to be held up, exalted, lifted up. And if I will look to Christ and follow Him despite all the confusion and the noise and this doctrine and this interpretation and that interpretation, I keep my eyes on Christ. And wherever I see Him go, that's where I'm going to go. And you know what I'll find? If you're doing the same thing, I'm going to look up. There's my brother. Because we're going the same direction. We've got the same standard, Jesus Christ lifted up. The prophecy all the way back in Genesis said of Christ, unto Him shall the gathering of the people be. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. It's not about our entertainment programs. It's not about how we can draw massive. Oh, I want crowds to be drawn. I want them to hear the good news of the gospel. But it is going to be through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's what Paul said. I don't want to know anything else among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I don't come in excellency of speech or any of that. It's all about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It is His doctrines, His teachings. That's what I want to know. That's what I want to strive, endeavor to keep. And I pray that the Lord will again ever just unite and tie us together. My heart rejoices every time I meet somebody else that I recognize there's some harmony here. And my heart rejoices at that. You know, the Lord is still calling His scattered children together. Jesus said, other sheep I have that are not of this fold. But He said, them I must bring. I must call. I want them to be joined together in every sect and in every way of thinking and all. That there's a blood-washed child of God. Oh, He wants to join us together that we can be united. May the Lord help us that we would endeavor, strive to keep the unity that God alone can work in our hearts. To say, Lord, fit me. Lord, I want to fit into this. I want to be a part of this beautiful picture. Lord, fit me. Whatever you got to shave off, whatever you got to knock off of me, Lord, would you do? I give you permission through your Spirit's working in my life. And then when the Lord brings people together, it just works. It just fits. I can't explain it. It just fits. When the Lord has been the one to fitly join us together, you pray for me. Amen.